So take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And we will carry on in our study of faith and look at this chapter this evening. Sometimes people think that the Bible is against women and doesn't say much nice about women and so on. And that it's all about the men and a patriarchal kind of society. But on the contrary, the Bible speaks of many women who did great things for the Lord. And so this morning, as we will look, we'll see one of those ladies, and that is the lady named Sarah. Again, think of some of the ladies of the Bible. Of course, Eve is a pivotal figure in the Bible. Maybe not always seen in the positive way, but her name is Eve, the mother of all living. Then, of course, is Miriam, Moses' sister. She had a big impact. And Deborah, and Hannah, Abigail, Elizabeth, Mary, Martha and Mary, and so on. We could speak about Lydia and many other women of the Bible. And so there are many women in the Bible who were used of the Lord to do great things and who we find names recorded in the Scripture, and some unnamed who did great things as well, as we'll see even later on in this chapter as we get to that, Lord willing, later on this year. But again, this morning we will look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, and that is about Sarah. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Notice what it says there. It says in verse number 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. I want us to consider this morning to be strengthened by faith. Strengthened by faith. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you again for this time we can spend together in the Word of God this morning. I pray that you speak to our hearts, that we would be challenged, encouraged to walk close with you, to walk by faith with our life. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that does not know you as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation, that by faith they would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us each one and bless us, we pray. And again, be with those who could not make it this morning for various reasons. Watch over them and keep them, we pray. And may they soon be back in our midst once again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many things we can learn about Sarah's life. And think about it, how she followed Abraham. We talked about Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. But Abraham didn't go alone. His wife was willing to go along with him. That took faith and her part, and also support to her husband. Abraham was 75, Sarah then approximately 65, according to what we read there in the Bible. They were settled. I'm sure that to move away from everything that she knew to go to a strange place was probably not really what she was looking to do at 65 years old. And yet she was willing to follow Abraham as he followed God's call for his life and for them. And what a blessing it is to read about that, about the life of Sarah. And we often just neglect that and think, well, yeah, Abraham went out and he stepped out by faith, but she went with him. And that was a big step of faith on her part, and a great encouragement, no doubt, to Abraham as well. And, of course, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 that Sarah is one whose example is to be followed. She was meek and humble of spirit and was focused more on the inside, we might say, than the outside. And again, is a great blessing and encouragement to us as we consider her life. But this morning we're going to see her faith. We often speak about Abraham's faith in having a child when he was very old. But, men cannot bear children. And so that necessitated that his wife was involved in that picture. They tried the surrogate mother situation. That wasn't God's plan, and it didn't work out very well, and is still unfolding very poorly as well, we might say, today, as we look at history and so on. And so we recognize that it's not just Abraham who had faith, but Sarah also who had faith. There was a need of faith because God had given to Abraham a promise. The promise was that God would make Abraham a great nation. It was hard to be a great nation when you don't even have any offspring at all. There was no children in the family. They didn't have any children. God promised that. We looked at that before Christmas there in Genesis chapter 12, how God said that He would make of Abraham a great nation. The longer time went on, the less likely that was to happen. When you're promised at 75 years old and your wife is 65 years old, even with longer lifespans back then than we have today, that you're going to be the father of a great nation, you say, I'm not sure how that can happen, but okay. But when another 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 24 years goes by and still no sign, nothing happening, there's a need of faith there. It seemed less likely that it was going to take place, and yet God kept telling Abraham and reminding him, reiterating the promise to him, you're going to be the father of a great nation. I will make of you a great nation. Chapter 17 of Genesis and chapter 18, again, it was reiterated to him that he was going to be. You know, if God says something one time, we can count on it to be true. But if God repeats something over and over again like He did to Abraham, then all the more reason we better take note and better listen that it's going to happen. But yet, humanly speaking, that wasn't necessarily the direction it was looking to go. We find in Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 to 21, that God gave to Abraham the name of the son whom they would have, Isaac. It means laughter. Very fitting, because both Abraham and Sarah laughed. How can it possibly happen? We're too old for that. And yet God told them specifically, not only are you going to be a father of a great nation, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Isaac. I'm sure that that made the promise very much more personal and more definite, that, hey, there's going to be a boy and his name is going to be Isaac. But would Abraham and Sarah take God at His word by faith? Surely it would take great faith, because again there was a problem for that promise to be fulfilled. The problem was old age. The problem was a lack of fulfillment in the time that had gone on so far. The Bible says here in verse number 11, she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. It wasn't the time of life for her to be having children. We might say, I'm sure we would say it in today's terminology, we say she was post-menopause. It was too late. She wasn't going to have children. This just was not a normal situation. And that's what the Bible tells in Genesis chapter 18, that she was no longer of childbearing age. She no longer would have, humanly speaking, the ability to have children. And this was not the headlines on one of those newspapers you see at the stands at the grocery store. You know, 85-year-old lady gives birth, you know, whatever. Not one of those. This is God speaking, and God said it was going to happen. But there was a problem. Romans chapter 4 speaks of the deadness of Sarah's womb. It was past giving birth to children. It was too late for that, from the human perspective. It was an impossible situation. Again, they tried the surrogate method of Abraham being a father through Sarah's maid. And again, it didn't turn out well. But God's promise remained that Sarah would have a child, and yet there's a huge obstacle in the way of that. We read it after the fact and we say, well, of course they should just believe God. I mean, look what it happened, didn't it? But they were in the stage waiting for it to happen. You know how long 25 years would have felt to them? From 65 to 90, from 75 to 100? Can you imagine how long a time frame? Some of you aren't even 25 years old yet. You think 25 is old. Some of us have doubled that and tripled that, and we won't go any further than that. But 25 years is quite a long time, isn't it? We wait for weeks. Sometimes it seems like, that's a long time. Can I get an answer today? But years went on, and it got less and less and less likely. God said Sarah's going to have a child. Now, Sarah had been 25 years old, recently married, and God said Sarah's going to have a child. Abraham would have said, great, that's normal. But Sarah wasn't 25 years old. You know, all childbirth is miraculous. Any birth of a child is a miracle. It's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. But, you know, at 25, 30, 35, 40 even, 45, I know some people, you know, in today's society, that's not terribly uncommon, but 65, 75, 85? No, that's not normal. That's not when it's going to take place. This was a promise that would seem absolutely impossible to fulfill. Why is it that when God gives a promise, we say, great, this is awesome, this is exciting. And then there's a lull. You say, well, where's the fulfillment of the promise? God said He was going to do this. And we're excited, but then it kind of dies down. Well, where is it? And time starts to tick by. When's it going to happen? Is it still going to happen? You know, God gives us promises, and He says that He will do things in our lives, and we take God at His word, and yet sometimes it seems like after we realize that God is leading us in our life and directing us, and it seems like something comes in the way to make it impossible. We say, well, now what's going to happen? Now how can it be? How can that happen that we were sure was God working and was going to take place? Realize that our faith needs to be tested. If we trusted now and 30 seconds later we had what we trusted for, it really wouldn't be great faith, would it? Because we always get our answers just boom, 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 instantly. But when we trust God for something and then something seems to come in the way and we keep saying, well, wow, Lord, I'm trusting You. Lord, I know You said You'd look after us. I know You said You'd provide, but wow, things are getting pretty tight. That's when faith is tested, isn't it? Faith is tried. Lord, You promised and I believe You, but isn't it time You did something about it now? It's relatively easy to trust God in the light. But when we cannot see because it's dark, wow, more difficult, isn't it? It's easy to say when we're getting our paycheck, well, God's the one that looks after me. God's the one that provides my needs and He takes care of me. And I mean, He gave me this job and this is great. But when that job's not there, it's a little harder to say, God's the one that's looking after my needs. He's going to look after me. It's easy to say when our health is good and everything, why, God's good. He keeps us in good health and He's the one that keeps me healthy and He's the one that looks after me. But when our health starts to wane a little bit, are we still saying, yep, God is the one that's going to look after me. God is going to be the one that is going to be with me through this, come what may. See, life, we take God at His word and we take promises and when everything's going well, it seems like it's easy and it seems like great. But then God brings a test into our life. He says, are you still going to trust me? That's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. We trust God to guide our steps when everything's going well. That's easy. When God's opening a door here and closing a door here and opening a door there and closing a door there, all of a sudden God's closing doors, closing doors, closing doors, and we're walking along thinking, which door is God going to open? How's this going to work out? That's when our faith is put to the test. When we're down in the valley, as it were. Faith is often tested. Believe that God wants to try our faith, to test our faith. We'll look at that about Abraham very soon in the verses that follow after what we've read here. But we realize that faith is put to the test. Faith was necessary in Sarah's life. And faith, there was an obstacle to that faith. It was her age. But the Bible says here in verse number 11, that she was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You realize what that says there? It says Sarah made a decision that she was going to trust God. She judged God faithful. Was it easy? Did it make sense? No. But she judged God faithful. She made a decision to trust God. Had she always done that? No, she said, here's my maid, Sarah, Abraham, this is the only way it can happen. That was a lack of faith. She had laughed at the promise when those heavenly guests came to see Abraham and they said, where is Sarah? And he said, she's in the tent. And they said, well, Sarah's going to have a child. And she laughed. She said, they got something wrong going on here. There must be another Sarah around here because it can't be me. She laughed at the promise. It wasn't that she was unwilling. She just couldn't see how it could ever be possible. Even in her laughter, as we would have time to look at Genesis chapter 18, the Bible says, shall I have pleasure and shall my Lord have pleasure at this age to have a child? I mean, it would be a wonderful thing, but it just can't be. And yet we see here that the Bible tells us that she judged him faithful who had promised. There came a point in her life, though she maybe doubted it before, though she maybe wondered how it could possibly be, the Bible says she judged him faithful. She chose to put her trust and faith in God. Judged here means that she deemed or considered. This was a conscious decision. She says, Lord, I don't know how this can be ever possible. It's almost humorous to think about it from our level of thinking, but you said it's going to happen. I'm going to trust you. I choose to trust you, though all odds seem to be against this situation. Do you realize that faith is a decision? We must choose to have faith. We must choose where to place our faith. Faith just doesn't naturally come. I mean, sometimes when we're younger, we're especially children, are very trusting to us as parents and so on. But the older we get, the more we have to choose. And even as children, we have to choose that we're going to place our faith. We don't have to choose faith over fear. We have to choose faith over worry. We have to choose faith over works. We have to say, I am going to trust. It's a decision. Sarah made that decision. I've decided I'm going to trust God to do what He said. He keeps repeating this promise, and He sent these angels now to tell us about this promise. Therefore, I'm going to choose to trust Him. We must choose to trust God. And isn't that the way it is in salvation? There comes a time in our life when presented with the gospel, we're presented with the fact that we are sinners in the sight of a holy God. We're presented with the fact that our good works can never earn our salvation, but Jesus died to provide that salvation. We come to a crossroads in our life and we say, either I take God at His word and choose to believe what Jesus did for me, or else I go on my way. But we have to make that decision. I have to choose to believe in Jesus Christ. It's a decision to make. And I trust that you've made that today. I trust that you've already made that decision where you said, I believe what the Bible says about me, about Jesus Christ, and about what Jesus did for me. Therefore, I trust God, I trust His Word, and I've called upon the name of the Lord. I trust that you've done that. And if not, then today would be the day, the best day, to make that decision of faith, to trust God to do what you cannot do for yourself, and that is save your soul. To trust Him, it's a decision of faith. But in the Christian life also, our decision to trust God is a decision of faith. When fears and worries wear us down, we have to say, am I going to let these worries and fears and issues of this life wear me down? Or am I going to say, no, God, I'm not going to get those things, let me get those things, get me all bent out of shape. I'm going to choose to trust you and to trust your word. It's a decision. It's a decision we have to make over and over again in our life as we go about life and different circumstances come into our life. You see, Sarah took God at His word. It took a while, but Sarah took God at His word. She came to the place where she said, I will trust Him as to what He has told me. I will trust His promises that He will give us a son and that He will use me to bring that son into the world. She had wrestled with it. She had doubted with it. But now the Bible says she judged Him faithful who had promised. She said, He's promised and I will trust. I will trust Him. She took God at His word. We too have many promises of God's word, don't we? We talked about salvation and God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, I choose to trust God. God says, you trust me, you will be saved. Salvation comes by trusting in what God says. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in the Christian life, we must be reminded that all the promises of God are in Him, Jesus, are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We trust God and take Him at His word. It's faith. Faith is trusting God and taking Him at His word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sarah took him at his word and she recognized his faithfulness. She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah recognized the faithfulness of God based on what she knew of God from her own experience and from that of other people. She said, God is faithful. Therefore, I can trust him. God is faithful. He's given me his word. I will choose to trust him. She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him to be faithful to his promises. Maybe she remembered the story of Noah and how God had cared for them on the ark. She said, if God can do that, and God can preserve life through Noah and his sons and their wives, then God can give us a son. He's faithful. He brought them through on the ark, and look at the world today as a result of that. She said, I can trust that God will do what he has said he will do for me because he has been faithful in the past. She'd seen how God had taken care of them in that strange land that he had called them to, how he'd protected them, how he'd provided for them, how he'd increased them. And she said, he's been faithful to us in all these other areas. And though I haven't seen the fulfillment and I don't understand how this promise could be fulfilled, if he's been faithful in those things, he will be faithful in this. And she recognized the faithfulness of God. We realize and must realize today that faith in God is strengthened when we recognize his faithfulness to us in our life. Our faith in him is strengthened when we see what he has done in our lives and how he has provided for us and how he has led us. And though we may get discouraged and we may grow weary and we stop and look back, we say, hold on a minute. Look what God has done. If he's done that for me, then this isn't too hard for him either. This is something that he is well able to do as well. And we judge him faithful who has promised. Just look at God's track record in your life. See how he's been with you. See how he's provided for you. See how he's guided your steps. And what, no matter what you're facing now, say, God, you've done that. So I know he can do this. That's what Sarah did. She judged him faithful. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can be confident. You can say, God is faithful. We have so much more than Sarah had, don't we? Because we have this book that's filled with the records of God's faithfulness. Sarah didn't have that. She's way back here near the beginning. She didn't have the written word of God to say, God has been faithful. God has been faithful to all who've trusted him down through time. Therefore, I can trust him. But she judged him faithful still. We have Hebrews chapter 11, and where we can see all these different characters of the word of God who trusted God by faith. We say, that's what God did then. He can do some great things now. He's faithful. Solomon said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he hath promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Solomon said, God's been faithful. Therefore, we can continue to trust him. She took God at his word. She recognized his faithfulness and she recognized his power. She recognized his power. Look at what it says there. It says, she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. She received strength to conceive seed because she trusted God. She recognized his power. Back there in Genesis chapter 18, let's read part of that story there in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter number 18, we'll see that she had to take her eyes off her own condition, her own age, the unlikelihood of seeing that promise fulfilled, humanly speaking, and trust in God. And God gives a statement here that she must have come to trust at that point. Genesis chapter 18, It says in verse number 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I waxed old? After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way." See what it says there in the beginning of verse 14? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything? Sarah, is it too hard for the God who made the world and created man from the dust of the ground to cause you to have a child at this age? Is there anything too hard? Sarah, is it too hard for God who preserved life on the ark to give you a child at this age? Is there anything too hard for God? I believe that Sarah came to a place where she recognized it's right. There is nothing too hard for Him. He can do it. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. The only answer to that question, is anything too hard, is no. No, there isn't. No, there isn't anything too hard. God is God. God's able to do it. I don't understand how it can happen. It doesn't make sense in my life in the sense that I'm past having children. But He's right. There's nothing too hard for Him. He can do anything. And she recognized the power of God. Previously, she'd looked at the natural side. Can I possibly have a child at this age? No. But is there anything too hard for God? No. Wait a minute. I can't have a child at this age. See, she had to realize that God, who had made her womb, could surely restore it to a place where it could bear a child, though it had not been able to do so throughout her life to that point. Sarah trusted God because she knew His unlimited, omnipotent power. Faith has to take a step where it looks at things no longer from the human perspective, but from the divine perspective, from God's perspective. Faith has to say, I can't, but God can, because there's nothing too hard for Him. It's very unlikely from my perspective, but nothing is impossible from God's perspective. It's recognizing God's unlimited power and what God can do. There's nothing too hard for Him. When we consider God's Word, realize His faithfulness, see His power, we have to come to the conclusion Sarah did. I'm going to trust Him. I will trust Him. And there, in our lives, there are many times that we have a choice to make. Do we do it our way, or we just trust God to do it His way? If we're filled with anxiety and care, we must make a conscious decision to say, God is able to do anything. I'm going to trust Him. If we're going to trust Him to supply our needs, we have to say, God has promised this in His Word. He's been faithful to do it in the past. He's able to do it. Therefore, I will trust Him. See, it's considering the Word of God, it's realizing God's faithfulness and recognizing God's power causes us to say, I can trust Him. I will trust Him. We see the fruit of faith in verse number 12 back in our text. It says, therefore, what therefore? Through faith she received strength. Therefore, there sprung even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Sarah trusted, God blessed her faith. The fruit of her faith was the result of the promise. There was a child born. That child's name was Isaac, just like God had said. Yes, they had laughed, and that was a very fitting name. And I'm sure he brought many tears of joy to their life as they laughed at the fact that God had given them that child at that age. The fruit of faith. You know, you realize that as Sarah found out that it's always worth it to trust God. It paid to trust God. If they hadn't trusted God, they would never have known the joy of having Isaac. She said that others would laugh with them, and I'm sure many have laughed along with them. I'm sure many sermons have been preached. How many of you ladies that are 75 would like to have a child? Or 90 years old, how would like to have a child right now? No! Sarah said, many will laugh with me. And I'm sure many have. But that laughter turned to a laughter of joy when God fulfilled that promise that He had promised because they trusted Him by faith. Sarah said, okay, Lord, I surrender. Have your way. I'll trust you. And they were blessed with that child. If they hadn't trusted God, then Abraham would never become the patriarch that God designed him to be. Remember what we looked at in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11? That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith placed in God is never misplaced. Faith placed in God is always well placed. Faith placed in God is that which God will reward. We may not see the rewards we expect in this life now, but we'll see God faithful to His Word now, and one day we'll look back and say, wow, I'm so glad I trusted God. I'm so glad, because He didn't let me down. He fulfilled His Word. There's always fruit from faith. It may not be as evident as the fruit of Sarah's faith. It may be peace in the midst of a trial, because we're trusting God, even though it seems like a whirlwind of emotion that we may be going through. It may be the salvation of a friend or family member for whom we have been praying and prayed. It may be the provision of a need for which God has supplied according to His promise. But there is always fruit from faith. I wonder how much we miss out on by stubbornly saying, no, it's got to be my way. I just got to work myself through this, and this is the way it's going to happen, when God said, just trust me. We miss out because we stubbornly choose to go our own way. God is no man's debtor. That doesn't mean that you're going to have your bank account filled with millions. But God is no man's debtor. He rewards faith. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And Sarah found out that when she trusted God, she received strength, she bore that child, and therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars and the sand. There was a result, there was a fruit from that faith, because God will fulfill what He has promised. And so as we think about Sarah's life today, yeah, there are many lessons we could probably take and learn from the life of Sarah today, but may we focus in on this one, that when we trust God by faith, we can be strengthened by faith. God has given us promises in His Word. God leads us in our life. God directs our life, and He wants us to trust Him, even when things seem impossible. And yeah, we get excited. Can you imagine how excited Abraham and Sarah were, even though they were elderly already, when God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation and give you a land. Wow, this is great. This is fantastic. But 25 years went by. That's a long waiting time. But after 24 of those, Sarah said, okay, I'm going to trust God by faith. I'm going to take Him at His word. And God delivered on His promise. Our faith too will be tested. We must choose to actively trust God. It's a choice that we make. And when we consider His promise, His faithfulness, and His power, we say, I can trust Him. Therefore, I will trust Him. It really is a no-brainer to trust God when you see what God can and does do. But we need to make that choice. What circumstances are you facing in your life today? Can I trust it to God, the one who is faithful and can do anything? If you do, you'll be glad that you did, because you too can be strengthened by faith. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us to just appreciate the lesson that we can learn from Sarah's life today. Lord, I don't suppose any of us will ever be in the same circumstance as Sarah was. Completely different situation, but you've recorded her situation, not that it would be replicated identically in our lives, but Lord, so that we could learn from it. So we could learn that we can trust you. We learn that we need to place our faith consciously in you. As Sarah, who judged you faithful, who had promised and recognized that there was nothing too hard for you. So Lord, I pray you'd help us today to just realize what you desire to do in our life, what you can do, and help us to trust you to do that which you desire to do in us and through us. Lord, you've told us to trust in you with all our heart and not to lean into our own understanding, to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our paths. And so I pray you'd help us to recognize our need of doing that today. For Lord, we've seen in Sarah's life the result of her faith, but we mentioned as well the result of her doubt and her trusting in her own ways. And Lord, how much better it was to trust you and to see you come through in a mighty way. And so, Lord, I pray if there be anyone here that's not sure of heaven, maybe they've never placed their faith in Jesus to be their Savior, that today they would place their faith in you, that they would judge you faithful, who has promised to save their soul if they will call upon you. And for Christians, Lord, help us to judge you faithful in our life and take you up on your promises. Lord, you know the circumstances that each one of us is facing in our life. You know there's a need right now of faith to place our faith in you for a particular circumstance and instance in our life. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that today and receive the peace that passes all understanding that comes through that faith that is placed in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I trust that God has spoken to your heart today through Sarah's life, through the need of faith in our life. Maybe you feel like you're growing weary. I encourage you today to trust God and be strengthened by faith. Again, if you're not sure of heaven, not sure you've ever placed your faith in Jesus to be your Savior, then today is the day of salvation. He wants you to be saved and to know without a doubt that heaven is your home. It's by faith. Placing your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, because He is faithful and He has promised that He would save you if you call upon Him. Lord, help us, we pray, as we sing a hymn of invitation to do business with you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.